Brothers and sisters, I think most of us here have had the experience of being a little late for something important or exciting in our lives. It's more than disappointing, it's aggravating, because often there's someone who goes on and on and on about what we missed, someone who we suspect is deliberately rubbing it in. And you can usually tell, because the person will use the words just and most in every description of what happened. Oh, you just missed the most beautiful sunset. You just missed the most incredible play of the game. You just missed so-and-so who was here for a visit. Just look at the disciples that we hear about in the gospel today. The ones who were handpicked by Jesus huddled together in fear behind locked doors, hoping to escape all notice. After the Last Supper, they couldn't stay awake for even 1 hour to pray with Jesus, and then ran away when the Roman guards came to arrest him. And then there was Peter, who 3 times denied he even knew Jesus. The disciples were even afraid to go with the women to the tomb on Easter morning. No one's had a good night's sleep. Everyone keeps rehashing what happened, going over it again and again. How could we abandon our friend Jesus? Why do we do it? How could we do it? What's going to happen to us? What now? Then Jesus, risen from the dead only a matter of hours, appears to these very friends who deserted him when he needed them the most. And his first words to this motley crew are words of forgiveness, words of peace, words of mercy. No judgment, no condemnation. Thomas wasn't with the disciples when the risen Jesus appeared to the disciples that evening. And no one really knows why. Maybe Thomas wanted to be alone with his own grief over the death of Jesus. But for whatever reason, he wasn't there. So when the other disciples reported on Jesus' incredible appearance that they had seen the Lord, their mere say-so just wasn't enough. Thomas couldn't trust their word. He had to see for himself, and he had to touch for himself. He wouldn't easily trust again without crystal clear proof. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. You know, I'm convinced that Thomas's reaction is more out of anger and frustration than outright disbelief. And who among us, brothers and sisters, can't sympathize with Thomas's case of bad timing? Then a week later, Thomas is gathered with the disciples in that same room. Suddenly, Jesus appears again with the same beautiful greeting of peace, shalom, and invites Thomas to examine his wounds. Poke away, Jesus says, if this is what it takes for you to believe, I'm at your disposal. And like a child, Thomas, the one slow to believe, wants to touch and to feel. But my friends, it's not the physical touching, but Jesus' personal and intimate presence to Thomas that causes him to make the most profound and personal ascent of faith in all of the Gospels. My Lord and my God. Brothers and sisters, the story of Thomas is a story of many of us. Not content to take the word of others, we sometimes seek our own personal experience of the Lord. And all of us who are here, are a mixture of fear and doubt, belief and unbelief. And that's a difficult place to be, because every one of us has a longing for certainty. Throughout the world, there are many like Thomas, looking for evidence and wanting to believe. While they might seem to be looking for proof, they're whispering the prayer of Thomas in their hearts, because every one of us has such a longing for that certainty. And thank God for Thomas. He spoke up when the others were silent, when the others kept their doubts to themselves. And my friends, here we are today, huddled together in this room, this worship center, this sacred space, where the risen Lord appears in our midst, showing us his hands and his side. But we don't see him the way the disciples did, but are just as blessed and just as challenged, because the Christ who spoke the words, "Peace be with you," proclaims himself to us in our scriptures at the table of the Word and gives us his body and blood in the Eucharist. This is our tangible proof of the resurrection. The Christ who breathed the Holy Spirit on the disciples fills our hearts with his Spirit. The Christ who appeared to the defeated and desperate disciples appears to us every single day of our lives, in the poor, the homeless, the grief-stricken, the addicted, the foreigner, the immigrant, the desperate, and the lost. The Christ who sent the disciples out to proclaim his victory over sin and death sends us, all of us, out to do the same. We see this because we believe. My friends, we don't have to be professional ministers to witness to the presence of the risen Lord. We too can be the healing touch of the risen Christ in a world filled with suffering and violence. We can be the reason others come to the Lord. There are people among us who serve the needs of others through visiting the sick and the infirm, who minister at our county jail, who help with the care of children, and who advocate on behalf of the vulnerable. There are those among us whose presence is a healing touch, whose smile warms our hearts, whose words light the darkness of our lives. There are people all around us who manifest the presence of the risen Lord if we but open ourselves to it. Brothers and sisters, Easter isn't just a moment in the past, but a new opportunity for us today to come out from behind our locked doors, from behind whatever is keeping us from speaking out on our faith. The peace that the risen Christ breathes into us at Easter shows us a way out of these tombs in which we bury ourselves. The forgiveness Christ extends enables us to get beyond the facades we create and the rationalizations we devise to justify them. My friends, the description of the early Christian community found in our first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles reminds us that Christ is indeed among us, living in the community, in the members of his body. Christ is alive in those who are one in mind and heart, and who share what they have with each other. These early Easter people, if you will, were so transformed by the resurrection experience that non-believers looked in wonder at them and exclaimed, "See how these Christians love one another." Brothers and sisters, the image of Thomas standing before Jesus, not in the glowing white robe of popular art, but with gaping wounds, is powerful for our church today. There's a story of one bishop who told a group of students inquiring about the deepest meaning of their Catholic faith to work one night a week in a soup kitchen and to attend Sunday Eucharist. The words of Christ mar his body as the broken and the homeless shuffle to forward for meager sustenance, while breaking bread at liturgy reenacts Christ's broken body on the cross. Yet at both meals, we are summoned to affirm, "My Lord and my God." My friends, today as we gather around the table of the Lord and prepare to receive Jesus in the Eucharist, let us invite Jesus into our own locked upper rooms and pray as well that he will break through all the barriers that might be keeping him out of our lives. Let us pray to be open then to God's tender mercies, that we might be able to say with the wonder of St. Thomas the Apostle, "My Lord and my God." Amen.